Hello and welcome to The Couch. My name is Julian and today we're going to be talking about some NFL Week 1. Standout players, rookie QBs, surprising wins and losses. Before we get into that, grab your sody. Let's get ready. First, I do want to introduce myself. I am Julian Shelnut. I am a junior at the University of Evansville. I'm a communications major and I'm a huge football fan, huge basketball fan, huge baseball fan. Now, I will have to get my biases out of the way. I do want to let everyone know I am a Philly fan and also a Miami Heat fan. So if that ever comes up, you know those are my biases. Huge Eagles fan, huge Phillies fan. So, and the Eagles definitely will come up today. But let's get right into it. Most surprising wins and losses. Now, I do have two players and two teams for this. I think we'll go ahead and start with the players. And my first big W is Anthony Richardson. Put on not necessarily a show of statistics, but a show of talent. And I think it is a W for him to give hope to Colts fans that he's played four games and been pretty solid, but the arm talent is unmatched almost. I mean, that 60-yard bomb to Alec Pierce, one, when it showed up on my fantasy app, my jaw dropped. Two, when I saw it, my jaw dropped. It was insane. I mean, that if you haven't listened to it, the NFL mic'd up this week, had a clip from Joe Flacco, and he's talking to him. He's like, I've never seen a quarterback throw that far in a game before. I think it was 65 air yards, maybe. Traveled 65 yards. Crazy. But, I mean, his talent is the real deal. And I think that from a statistic standpoint, not a great showing. I mean, 9 completions, 9 for 19. Had a pick, I think, maybe 2. Double check. He had a pick. He had 2 touchdowns, though, and a rushing touchdown. Just a great, great W for his talent and for Colts fans. Didn't pull out the win, obviously, but looked great. Fourth game as a pro. Pretty solid. Let's move on to my second. This will be my first surprising L, is Kirk Cousins. Man, did he look rough. Putting up 10 points against a pretty good Steelers team, but the Falcons defense did a great job at getting the Falcons plenty of chances to have the ball. And when you're not doing much with it, especially when you're turning the ball back over to them, you're not going to win the game. You're not going to win the game, and you're not going to look good. Had 2 interceptions, probably should have been 3, and had a touchdown to Kyle Pitts. It's his year. But Kirko just did not look good. Looked very stagnant. There was a very good video on TikTok I saw from either Esquire Sports or Theo Ash talking about his new stance or his pre-snap stance. And so go watch that. Very interesting. But he just doesn't look comfortable. And I think that is echoed in that video and the fact that they're changing that. He doesn't look comfortable. And the Achilles seems to be a problem. He just doesn't look comfortable. And I don't know how much success you're going to have if you're not comfortable in the offense. I mean, Drake London had 2 catches, and Kyle Pitts had 3. And Ray McLeod had 4, you know. And sometimes the wide receiver 2s or 3s are going to have, you know, pop off. But it's like he wasn't even looking. He wasn't even looking at Kyle Pitts and Drake London. Kyle Pitts had 3 catches. Guess how many times he was targeted? 3. Drake London had 2 catches. Guess how many times he was targeted? 3. Now, they might have not been open or, you know, whatever reasons. But, I mean, you got to use. This could be either a Kirk problem or an offensive coordinator problem for the Falcons. But you got to use your talent. And I will say, it is entirely better than Arthur Smith with Bijan, because Bijan got a lot of work in that game. Work in the rushing game, work in the pass game. He was pretty much everywhere. But I will say this is a loss for Kirko. He is 0-2 to the Falcons 0-1 because this was not a good showing from him. And I would not be surprised if they put, if they're out of playoff contention very early and Michael Penix gets the starts. And if it continues this way, which I hope it doesn't, Kirko seems like a good dude. But if it continues this way, I could see Michael Penix being the starter next year. All right, but let's move on to another surprising W, and that is the Patriots. I mean, solid showing against the Bengals. Come out with a dub to a team that you were projected to lose to. I think it may say more about the Bengals than it does the Patriots, but I think the person it says the most about is Gerard Mayo. He seems to have some real coaching chops, and I think they've established their offensive identity, and I think that is the most important thing from this game that they needed to do. Ramondre, 25 rushes, over 120 yards, and a touchdown. Let's run the football. Tom Brady's been in here long enough, you know? Time to run the ball. Jacoby Brissett didn't look bad, necessarily, and I think Drake May will start later in the year, but let's go ahead and establish identity if you're going to run the football and you're going to be good at it. I think that's why their W is because they kind of established their identity in some sort of way, and I think that is something that other teams struggle with, especially in week one. I think the Commanders struggle with that. The Jets seem to struggle with that, and we'll talk about that in just a second. But, yeah, surprising W for the Patriots and a really good win over the Bengals. And then my last surprising W/loss is the 49ers. Surprising W. But we'll move it on to surprising L for the Jets. Because I am not necessarily surprised they lost, and I know that contradicts the literal name of this segment, but it's surprising they lost that bad. I mean, come on. You have Aaron Rodgers. Garrett Wilson, Sauce, Brees. And, I mean, the 49ers. I mean, I could probably double that list with 49ers. But still, Aaron Rodgers didn't look great. Their offense looked very stagnant and one-dimensional. Very similar to last year with Zach Wilson, just kind of force-feeding the ball to Brees when it gets tough in games, which I'm fine. I'm a Brees Hall fantasy owner. You know, I got him in a league. I'm fine if you just want to force feed him, but it's not going to work in real football. Lose 32-19, but really 32-12. That Tyrod touchdown at the end, it counts, but I'm not going to count it in the actual L that I'm giving the Jets right now, because the Jets looked, they looked good on that first, not the first drive, but their touchdown drive where they scored with Brees 3 yards out, looked pretty solid, you know? And just from there, it seemed like they were just very one-dimensional. And I think it definitely did get better, but it was gone by that point. It was over. There was no coming back, and you could kind of sense that while watching the game. Now, the 49ers are one of the best teams in the league, and it's hard to beat them in the first place, but the Jets get the L because they did not establish that identity, because you have Aaron Rodgers come in, right? And he's obviously one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Sorry, Bears fans, but you got to establish what's going on here. And it seemed like they were kind of all over the place, which that can be your identity. You can be all over the place, but you had to be good at it for it to be your identity. It seemed like they were unaware of what to do in some times. And Aaron Rodgers definitely looked good towards the more that game went on, but it was very evident that the Jets got to take next week and really put it together. And their defense, I mean, Hassan Reddick's still not there, but the defense I don't know. Well, I was impressed with the defense. I really wasn't. I don't know. They had 3 sacks, but still really wasn't impressed with the defense. Seemed that, I mean, it did keep them in the game, but the offense just struggled so much. But I don't know. I expected more out of the Jets defense. Like last year, where they're kind of just shutting everybody down, but that was not the case in this game. But yeah, that's the first segment right there. And the next thing I want to talk about is the rookie QB performances. And this is going to be pretty quick because I'll go ahead and rank them for you. Jaden Daniels first. I think that his performance, very similar to Anthony Richardson, was a W, was good. And was good to see, especially if you were a Commanders fan, because the talent there, I mean, the ability to escape pressure and create rushing ability, I think is something that they are going to be good at. Brian Robinson, fantastic. Jaden Daniels, great. Austin Eckler, not the player he once was, but still pretty solid. I mean, I think this rushing attack from the Commanders is going to be pretty solid. I think they kind of showed that off in spurts. And I think that when they start using Jaden Daniels in it more and more, and they did use him in it quite a bit, this team is going to be one of those scary teams. You don't want to play them because something's going to happen. You'll lose. It's just one of those things. You might lose to this team who's not very good, but dangerous. And I think that next week when the Commanders play the Giants, Terry McLaurin and Jaden Daniels are going to become best friends. I think that's going to be the best friend game. And I think they're going to have the Commanders are going to have a great game against them next week. But anyways, besides that, Jaden Daniels had a great performance. Second, it is very close between Bo Nix and Caleb Williams. And while Bo Nix is probably worse and threw interceptions and lost, I think he had a better rookie game than Caleb Williams. Bo Nix at least took shots. He had 42 pass attempts. He was taking shots downfield, scored a rushing touchdown. He was doing something, at least. Caleb Williams, who I'm ranking as third if you haven't guessed, 93 yards, didn't make any stupid plays, besides the 3rd and 29, but also didn't make any big plays. Almost had a couple big plays, but overthrew or underthrew guys. And I think that next week I'm expecting a lot more out of Caleb Williams. I don't expect a dub because they're playing the Texans. I think that's a pretty tough matchup, but I'm expecting more from Caleb Williams. And I think that Caleb Williams is probably the best quarterback out of these three, but in performances this week, he definitely was last. I mean, you can't be above anyone with 93 rushing yards or 93 passing yards. They did get the win, but I mean, that was just that Bears defense, and that Bears defense is going to be scary this year, very very good. But Caleb Williams has got to take the jump before he's going to be, not even take a jump necessarily, just get in the feel of it. It seemed like the other two quarterbacks were just not really afraid, and Caleb Williams seemed, because I don't think he was afraid, but there was something. There was something, and I think that most of it was on the interior offensive linemen for that Bears team. I mean, they were getting killed all game. One of my favorite clips, besides the Will Levis on his hands and knees after throwing the game-losing pick, was the Bears center getting shoved about 5 yards back straight off rip. Like, just Tavondre Sweat just pushing him and him going flying backwards. I think that was one of my favorite clips from this week. And I live with Bears fans, and my girlfriend's a Bears fan, and so I watched this whole game, and it was just very disappointing. But I think Caleb will do better next week. But to move on, let's go ahead and stand out players for week one. I got 5 here. Take this as mostly NFL standout, but also fantasy, because, you know, sometimes those things align. So the first three are going to be pretty fantasy relevant, and the other two are, if you play in weird leagues, they'll be fantasy relevant. Number one, Isaiah Likely. You heard about him all week, pretty much. And he had a amazing game, and I don't think this is just surprising in any way. In deep leagues, you probably drafted him, probably saw this coming. Do I think Isaiah Likely is going to continue this production? Yeah. Maybe not all the way, but he's going to continue producing. Do I think Mark Andrews' fantasy owners should be scared? Yeah. Yeah, they probably should. The injury history of Mark Andrews, and it is such a problem, and probably more of a problem for him than me, but I think Isaiah Likely is just so effective in the pass game, so effective in the run game, such a good athlete. I mean, I think he's just going to slowly emerge as the guy who's going to be out there a lot more. And with Derrick Henry, they're going to be running some more heavy sets. I mean, they're going to have two tight ends out there a lot. And when I'm looking at old tight end and young tight end, and they're going to be on the field probably about the same amount, I'm going to take the young tight end, who looks like he's going to produce. Besides that, we'll move on to Jameis Williams. Had a great game against the Lions. I think the Lions are going to have a great 1-2 punch with Amon-Ra, Jameson Williams. I think that was one of their struggles last year, was not having that defined number two. And, you know, if you can take Amon-Ra away, you kind of take a lot of that pass game away. I mean, they obviously have Sam Laporta as well, but I think that this opens up their offense even more. And I think Ben Johnson's going to have a fantastic year as OC for the Lions. And I think the Lions are going to have a fantastic year on offense. I mean, the offensive line is amazing. DeMont and Jahmyr Gibbs were taking quarters, like shifts at a Wendy's. DeMont would check in for the first quarter. Jahmyr would sit on the sideline, and then second quarter rolls around, Jahmyr Gibbs comes in. It's like, you guys have good enough running backs to do this and be productive. Not just like, because teams can do that, but for them to be productive as well, that's pretty wild. But I think Jameson Williams was a very standout player, and I think he opens up so much his offense. Great at Alabama, and I think he's going to be great here as well. All right. And then number three, we're going to move to Alan Lazard. Now, I put him on here because he had a good week. I can't deny that. Do I think that he will be here again? Probably not. Do I think you should pick him up in fantasy just in case? Yeah. I think you should put in a waiver for him. What, if you're at the bottom of the waivers, who else are you going to take this week? Pick up Alan Lazard. Might as well. I mean, the connection with Rodgers is there. If the Jets can warm up this pass offense, you know, maybe Alan Lazard kind of takes over for Mike Williams for the whole season and becomes that number two guy. I don't mind an Aaron Rodgers number two. So I think that Alan Lazard's a decent fantasy pickup, and, I mean, obviously he had a great game. But, I mean, do I think he's going to be back here again? No. Maybe. Who knows? He did look very well. Really good. And I don't want to take away from his performance, but pretty solid. 89 yards, 6 receptions, 2 touchdowns. I mean, come on. Pretty good. I think that having Alan Lazard as the number two, maybe this guy opens up the Jets offense. But he had a great week, and I mean, a solid pickup, you know. Go get him in fantasy. I did. All right, so then we're moving on to the last two, and we've got two defensive players. So unless you play with weird leagues with defensive players individually, this probably won't apply to fantasy. But Zach Bond, 15 tackles. 2 sacks. He was everywhere. And it's very similar with the next guy on this list, too. Just kind of everywhere. And I think that, as an Eagles fan, seeing a linebacker play well is very refreshing compared to last season, where our linebackers were probably one of the main reasons we were so bad. And I say so bad even though we won most of our games and made the playoffs. But despite that, our defense was very bad last year. And Zach Bond, a guy that I didn't think would even be starting, I thought, you know, he'd probably be like a depth piece and maybe splitting some time with N'Kobe Dean. But him and N'Kobe Dean played really well, but Zach Bond especially played well. I mean, you have 15 tackles. You're all over the field. It reminded me a lot of T.J. Edwards when he was on the Eagles, just kind of racking up tackles. I mean, he was everywhere on Friday, and I think he had a great game. The two sacks, too, especially the game-ending sack on Malik Willis. I mean, you can't deny that great performance, and I think that Vic Fangio and this linebacker core are going to be doing some great things on the Eagles, and Zach Bond has already done some of it. And I think that if this continues, not even this much, but a similar production continues, Zach Bond and the rest of the Eagles linebackers are going to have a great year. And then number five, Eric Kendricks. Very, very similar to what I just said about Zach Bond, but Eric Kendricks was everywhere in that Cowboys-Browns game. I was watching that game, you know? Not really rooting for either team. Kind of rooting for a 0-0 tie. And Eric Kendricks was just popping up, like, every time. Two sacks, interception, nine tackles. He was just kind of everywhere. Again, making plays, generating turnovers. I guess only one, but generating turnovers and being a real staple of that Cowboys defense. And with Leighton Vander Esch leaving, there was the question of, you know, who's going to replace that, because he's very, very good. And with him leaving, it's like, okay, who's going to step up? And it seems Eric Kendricks is going to be the guy. But yeah, fantastic from those five guys. Congratulations. I know they're all very proud to be on the couch as standout players from week one. I know. I have about three more things I want to talk about. We'll go ahead and talk about this first, because I think it's so interesting. And one of my favorite things to speculate about this week is the touchdown drought. And when I say drought, it's not really a drought. It's more like a reduction. So 2019, week one, 61 passing touchdowns. 2024, week one passing touchdowns are at 35, cut almost in half. Almost in half. And it is so interesting that because of this narrative that the game is getting more lenient and helping offenses, that actually the passing offense is becoming less productive, and the rushing offense is becoming more productive. Because I did this research by myself, and I found that in 2019, there were 17 week one rushing touchdowns. This year, 27 week one touchdowns. So, obviously, it's not exactly matching, but there is an increase. And it is very interesting to watch, because even you notice in a fantasy sense, too, I'm looking at all the quarterbacks throughout my league. Like, all these guys are putting up 10, 15 points, maybe 15. Like, okay, all these guys are putting up 10, 12 points. And you're like, what happened? Because I remember just a couple of years ago, it's like every quarterback had 20 points every week. It didn't matter who you got, you know? And that was where I first noticed it. And then I saw a tweet about this exactly. And I was like, wow, that's a crazy stat. Because I also looked at it, and yards are down. Passing yards week one are down too. And now I know this was something that also came up last year, and I should look at if it continued throughout the season, but because I think there's a couple different factors, like teams not wanting to go immediately into you know, their full offense, trying to get kind of warm back up into the game, especially good teams who probably didn't play their starters in the preseason at all. But, you know, I think there is some validation towards this, because it seemed like every running back was having a great week. Ramondre, Joe Mixon, Zach Moss had a pretty decent week. Saquon obviously had a great week. Bijan had a huge week. And this is Friday the 13th right now. And the Bills-Dolphins game was last night. Devon Achane, huge game. James Cook, huge game. And so I think there is some truth to this. And I think that I don't know if it's definitely not offenses slowing down in a terms of them getting worse. But I think it's a understanding of, okay, you don't want to play all, like, the Kyle Shanahan coaching tree has infected the league, right? It's like every team has somebody from his tree. You don't want to give those teams the ball. So let's run it. This is one of the things a couple years ago, Eagles were, I think we're 7-0, we lost our first game to the Commanders. I think the Washington football team at the time. And the way they won that game was having the ball the whole time. They just ran it and ran it and ran it and had the time of possession way up. And while there were big plays, and I think we had a couple turnovers in that game that kind of sealed the deal, but the time of possession is a very, very huge factor in winning the game. And I think that is something teams are not understanding. They clearly understand. I mean, they're NFL teams, but I think they're utilizing more. And it's very interesting. It's very interesting. Now I am interested to see how it plays out the rest of the season, but you know, running backs are back. Running backs are back, I guess. So two more things. I want to talk about the Panthers. Yikes. That's kind of what I have to say is yikes. Losing 47-10 to the Saints, and just kind of the worst game. If a Panthers fan could dream up like their worst nightmare, it's probably this. So in the offseason, let's just talk about what happened before the game. In the offseason, they lose Frankie Louvu, Troy Hill, Brian Burns, and there were questions about their pass rush last year and how ineffective it was. It was even less effective this game. And their defense was kind of their saving grace last year because, you know, it kind of kept them in some games and they didn't win many of them, but it was their best part. And they lose a lot of the key pieces to that defense. And now their best, I would say their best player, Derrick Brown, is out for the season. And I just think that their defense almost has no hope. As bad as that is to say, I don't see much coming from this Panthers defense. And evidently enough, nothing coming from this Panthers offense because Bryce Young looked hesitant. he looked hesitant. Scared almost and just making the wrong decisions. Two interceptions and looked just rough. I mean, you put up the Saints defense is pretty good, but it's like they were just giving the ball back to him every day the whole time. And I mean, in the offseason they added two, I think they spent the most money on offensive linemen. They got Diontae Johnson, a really good receiver. They have Adam Thielen, who's old, but, I mean, solid. I mean, if you look at his numbers last year, he's still a solid receiver. And they drafted Xavier Leggett. And it's kind of leaning towards this is probably something about Bryce. And can that be changed? Maybe. I think that it could. I think that the offense is so different. New head coach, all these new weapons. I think that he could be just not used to it yet, and it could get better over the season, but this looks like another season where they will have a top five pick. And just hopefully they can do something with it and make next year better. I don't know if they still want to stick with Bryce. I don't know. it really depends on the rest of the season about the Bryce question. But right now, the defense looks in shambles. I mean, J.C. Horn's getting taunted by Derek Carr. If Derek Carr ever looks at you and says, "I have 3 touchdowns on you," there's no hope. If I was a Panthers fan and I saw that, I would turn the game off and go cry. That at this point in Derek Carr's career, at least, and it is just a very rough outlook, and there's almost nothing that they can do because there's so many things wrong. I do they play the Chargers this week, and I do think Bryce Young has a better game, which is probably isn't hard to do, but I do think he has a better game. So, but something's going to happen there. I think I don't know where the problem is. Could be the players, could be the GM, could be the coach, could be the owner. And, but, you know, we'll see. We'll see as the season goes on, but a very, very rough showing. I mean, I personally thought Bryce Young was going to have a bounce back. Not a bounce back, but a very elevated season. Take a leap. But it just didn't seem to turn out that way. Okay, and the last thing I want to talk about is the Tua injury. Like I mentioned earlier, this is Thursday Night Football Week 2 has already started when this is being recorded, and the Tua injury happened last night. And it was about midway through the third quarter, 4th and 3. Tua scrambles and dives headfirst into DeMar Hamlin and rocks his head real hard. And very similar to last year's concussion, his hands started seizing. Immediate action from everybody on the field saw that and were waving the athletic training staff over, and it's just sad. It's just sad. And to see somebody who's now had 4 concussions in 5 years. And honestly, I you could even say 3 concussions in 2 years, counting last year. I believe. And it's just, it is so sad to see a player like that happen to a player, because that's just unlucky. I mean, yes, he dove, but the severity of these injuries, like all of them stacking up over time, is very unlucky. And I think he does have questions that he should answer personally, and I don't know why people online are. I think it's so kind of disrespectful for you to tell him what he should do. All these people like, Tua should retire, Tua should do this, Tua should do this. He's a grown man. He can handle himself. And I express sympathy. And if I was Tua, I would probably retire. But I think that's the way you should say it, and not, yeah, Tua should retire. Like, I understand it's probably in good heart, but I just, you know, it feels, I don't know, feels, especially, like, people live tweeting the Tua injury. Like, not just, like, oh, Tua got hurt, oh, no. Like, prayers up for Tua. They're like, wow, Tua, man. You know, he really needs to, you know, just go ahead and make the decision and just leave. And he's like, what are you saying? Do you know Tua? Like, you can hope that he makes whatever decision is best for him. And I think that's the best thing. But anyways, that's kind of the last thing I wanted to talk about. I do want to do my predictions for week 2 as well. I'm going to pull that up. So we'll kind of go through this. Obviously, Bill's already beat the Dolphins. I will tell you that was kind of a surprising blowout. Not necessarily as surprising as a win. I did think the Dolphins were going to win. But Tyreek got shut down and Dolphins looked very rough. Let's go ahead and start. Here, let me get some. All right. So we'll go ahead and start Raiders, Ravens. I mean, Raiders, Ravens. I mean, come on. Ravens win this one. Gardner Minshew did not look good. The Raiders' offense didn't look good against the Chargers. The Ravens got this one in the bag. I think they're going to, you know, after taking a rough loss to the Chiefs, bounce back with a good win against the Raiders. Chargers, Panthers. Like I said, Chargers are going to win, but hopefully Bryce will look better. But we'll see. Saints, Cowboys, two great defenses, one way better offense. Cowboys win. Lions, Bucks. Lions win this one. Bucks looked good against the Commanders, but I do think the Lions, as I mentioned earlier, they just have every facet of the game pretty much on lock. I don't think I can name a position where they are weak. And that's scary if you're going up against that team, and I think the Lions win. I don't think there's a lot of teams that I pick to beat the Lions this year. Colts, Packers, I think this Colts defense kind of shows up, takes care of business, gets them to 1-1. I think Anthony Richardson has a pretty decent game. I think Jonathan Taylor, of all people, will probably have the best game. I think with seeing the success of Saquon against the Packers week one, I think Jonathan Taylor also has a pretty good game. And I think the Packers, the flaw of the Packers not having a number one wide receiver, we'll show with Malik Willis starting. I don't think he has the same chemistry with any of his receivers. Colts win. Browns, Jaguars. I think Jaguars, I think Doug Peterson and Trevor Lawrence kind of work together and get a good win here against the Browns. The Browns defense is so good, but their offense is just so lackluster. Honestly, I might not pick the Browns to win a game until Jameis starts, because Deshaun just looked horrible. And he might not be playing in the NFL for much longer either. So, but Jaguars definitely going to win this game, I think. Probably be close, but I think the Jaguars do win. I think the Jaguars kind of show off that they're still kind of a threat. That collapse against the Dolphins last week, not necessarily was a fluke, but they'll show everyone they're still pretty good. They're still pretty good. 49ers, Vikings. 49ers, it's a Sam Darnold revenge game, though. So we'll see. We'll have to see. But I think the 49ers. I think the 49ers. I don't think that I have to say anything else about that. Seahawks, Patriots. Patriots come out with a good win against the Bengals. Seahawks almost lose to the Broncos, but still get the dub. Geno's sonic speed taking them to the dub. I do think this is another close game, and I think the Seahawks win. I think Kenneth Walker has another good game, and I think this is probably going to be the first noon game to be over with, or 1 o'clock game. I'm over here in Central Time, so I believe this is going to be where the first game's over, because they're going to run the ball the whole time. The Patriots corners are good. Christian Gonzalez is probably going to lock up either DK or Tyler Lockett, even though it pains me to say that, because DK is on my team, on my fantasy team. I think the Patriots have another good defensive showing. I think it's a pretty low-scoring game, run-heavy, but Seahawks in the end. Jets-Titans, I think the Jets bounce back. I think the only way the Titans kind of show up in this game is that they can also pressure through that interior line, similar to what they did to the Bears. I mean, they were in that game the whole time. It was just pretty much Will Levis just messing up. And I don't think their offense is going to do much. But, yeah, I think Jets win this one, kind of get back on track, kind of start to have a cohesive offense. Giants, Commanders, this is my game of the week. I cannot wait to watch this game. This is going to be a great game. I think Jaden Daniels has an amazing game, and I think the rushing attack is going to be pretty evident. And like I said earlier, Terry McLaurin and Jaden Daniels are going to become best friends after this game. I think the Giants defense is pretty solid, but honestly, they're more than solid. On paper, their roster is great. But I think that the amount of time they're going to be out there because of Daniel Jones is going to put them at a disadvantage, and I think the Commanders really do run away with this game. Commanders win. Rams, Cardinals, I think they win. I mean, they almost beat the Bills. Rams almost beat the Lions, but losing most of their offensive line and Puka, I think the Cardinals squeeze this one out. I think Kyler Murray does put on a show, and I think hopefully Marvin Harrison will become more of a factor. And honestly, one of the most shocking things about this Cardinals team is the defense. Jonathan Gannon is doing such a great job, and I think they keep the Cardinals in this game and make it give Kyler the ability to really put on a show and have him win the game. Steelers Broncos Russ revenge game, no, because Fields is definitely going to start. Sadly, I'm a Russell Wilson believer, so I kind of hope he comes back and starts falling out. But yeah, I think that the Steelers win this game. They start 2-0. Bo Nix is really going to struggle against the Steelers defense. The Steelers defense is, their pass rush is amazing. Their secondary is really good. I think Bo Nix struggles with that, and I think the Broncos lose. Bengals, Chiefs. I mean, Chiefs. After week one, the Bengals, I don't know. T. Higgins is once again doubtful, and I don't think that the Bengals are going to get enough done on offense to even be in this game. The Chiefs have such great ways of generating pressure, and Steve Spagnuolo is probably one of the best defensive coordinators in the league. I don't see a way that the Bengals win this game unless the Chiefs offense hands it to them. But with Patrick Mahomes, that's almost a 0% chance. Moving on to the Sunday night game, Bears-Texans. It's the Texans. And I'm sorry, Bears fans. I wish the Bears would win this game. I hope that the Bears win this game. But I think that the Texans will. Danielle Hunter is a force of nature. And the way that the Bears line struggled against the Titans, I think it will be, they will struggle again against this Texans defense. And I think Danielle Hunter has two sacks. I really do. I think CJ Stroud probably will struggle a little bit because of this Bears defense. And it's solid up to down, like head to toe. But I do think the Texans win, and they'll get the dub. Now, I had to take a drink to prepare for this game. Monday Night Football, Eagles-Falcons. I mean, what do you want me to say? It's the Eagles. It's the Eagles. Kirk Cousins is really going to struggle against an Eagles pass rush. And I think that the Eagles, even if they don't clean up the mistakes that they had against the Packers, like if Jalen Hurts throws another two interceptions, again, they have Saquon. They're going to run the ball and control the game. And I think that Jalen Hurts could have a great game and have a bad game, and I still see them winning. The only way I see the Falcons winning is if Kirk has a really big game or if Bijan has a really big game. But the Eagles, I can see them winning in about if four different people have big games. So, and I think that just looking at straight up, Eagles defense is going to play better than the Falcons defense, and I think the Eagles offense will be better than the Falcons offense. Probably be a fun game to watch, but yeah, I'm thinking the Eagles take the dub on this one. But that concludes the week two predictions, and like I said, this is Friday the 13th, so hey, I promise you, these predictions are coming before week two, so if I get them all right, you know, I'm pretty much a fortune teller. But thank you for listening to The Couch. I'm Julian Sheldon. I hope to see you guys next week. Thank you. This podcast is produced by Student Media. Student Media is a student organization at the University of Evansville. Student Media produces the Crescent magazine, published online and in print 3 times a semester. Student Media produces several podcasts and utilizes design, photography, video, and sound towards experimental and academic learning in journalistic endeavors and engaging storytelling. Student Media elevates the voice of the student body and connects the campus and community to important information and points of view.